What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Spitballing with JT. Got lucky this week. We have two episodes back-to-back. Dan Guyry yesterday and Van Dad today. Oh, shit. So let's get this show on the road. So, man, what's up?
How are ya?
I'm good. I'm just fucking with the levels.
Sick.
So we've been talking away. So I don't want to feel like
we've been getting high.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Smoking a Rockstar Kush, thanks to the Toronto Compassion Club. Shout out to those guys over there doing it big, like they always do.
Can they get in trouble for? I don't have a card.
He didn't smoke my stuff.
Yeah,
that's what he had his own. He didn't smoke my joint. My joint.
I don't smoke. I'm a poser. It's all a lie.
Well, that's definitely not a poser. That's for sure. Because
I wouldn't be on this show if I was a poser.
There you go.
No, I do smoke. I smoke a lot.
There we go. I'm making sure everything's working. Look at that. Trying to be as professional as possible. Usually like to get things taken care of.
But ladies watching the show, what do you think about my hair? I just got a cut. I don't really know. I think it's working, though. Let me know. I know you can tell so with this lighting, but like, hey. Yeah. All right. Take it away, JT.
So basically, I don't have any topics for today because I talked about all of them yesterday and I completely spaced on this one. Cool. But, what I first wanted to do is like at least introduce everybody to you and like give them a little bit of history about you. So how long have you been in stand up for?
Hey everybody, I'm Van Dad Cardart. I've been doing stand up for about 3 years. I'd say I've been trying to take it seriously for about a year and a half, maybe two, if I'm in the shower.
And so are you touring around like Canada or just in like hitting up like the GTA?
Right now I'm mostly in the GTA. I've done one other show in Ontario. We were in Espanola, Ontario. It was a show that I organized as part of my Skin of My Nuts brand. We just went out. It was actually with your last guest, Dan Guyry.
Nice.
Dan Guyry was my headliner. It was the first time I've ever been on the road. Got him to come, as well as Josh Infeld and Scott Dell. So we all went to Espanola.
Yeah. Nice. Well, so you've only been doing it like professionally for like a year, where you're taking it seriously.
And it's like, you know, what do you really call professionally, right? Because A, I still got to work some jobs right now. You know, I work on the side. So it's, you know, and like most of the shows you do don't pay. And if they do, it's, you know, you're getting a drink, maybe dinner, maybe some gas money. Even the pros I know who really are signed with stuff and like really touring, most of them still right now, I mean, got to work or get their money some other way. But yeah, I've been taking it serious, or trying to, or telling myself that I take it serious, you know, about a year and a half, you know. It's I was kind of down, the number is more like 2, maybe even on 3, but it's like, I always kind of downplay it for conservative, you know, just try to be real with myself. How much of it is just me fucking around, hanging out, you know, chilling out, talk some shit. Like, I mean, my first ever set, technically, 3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, it was at Hotbox, and I was back in Toronto in the summer. I was going to school out in Dalhousie in Halifax. So I came back, and I mean, I got 5 minutes, and you know what I did? I waited. I mean, I just got lucky, but I had to fart right before going on. So I specifically farted into the mic, and off the cuff, I thought it'd be so funny to say, well, if I'm going to shit on you all verbally for the next 5 minutes, I might as well shit on you literally a little bit too. I mean, thank you for this laugh, but, you know, they didn't share it. No one really, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Are you just farting now? And I was so nervous the whole time, and I did my set. I don't even remember the shit in the middle. It was just bullshit. And then I planned this out the whole time. I had a fucking rubber chicken taped to the inside of my leg. And I did this thing, I don't know, it was about like, oh, girls, hey, baby, like, girls, when I see you in the summertime looking so beautiful in those booty shorts, I see you pedaling on your bikes, you know, just, oh, I can see the ass work out. I can see your asses work out. Oh, looks so good. Makes me wanna just, and then I unzipped my zipper and reached in and went, pull out my cock. Like, squeezed the thing, chucked it in the audience. I yelled, I am the joke, and then I ran away. So, I mean, yeah, okay, 3 years I've been in the game. What do you want me to say? But a lot of those days didn't count. I mean, like, they're fun, but you just get it out there, get it out of your system, you know.
Well,
year and a half. 3 years.
I've literally been only doing this for 6 months, like, where I'm going up on stage and performing now. Because if it wasn't for, like, people like Joe Rogan or even his producer, Brian Redman, like, they're basically the reasons why I decided to go from, like, just doing a podcast to actually getting up on stage. Because he talked Redman into doing it, like, 5 years ago. Not 5 years ago. They're, like, I don't know, like, in the first 100 episodes of their show, he talked Redman into going on stage for the first time.
Yeah.
And seeing his evolution of, like, going from, like, just telling shitty little jokes to actually now hosting and his own shows where he's doing, like, he's organizing, like, 10 comics back-to-back, and they're all, like, headliners, basically.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, who's gonna get top billing for that show? Is it Joe Rogan, or is it Ian Edwards or something?
Yeah, like, who's the sell, even?
Exactly.
I think it's interesting, I mean, well, you're asking me how long I'm doing this. Like, my show, I've been organizing shows. Skin of My Nuts is one of them. It's my main one. That's been going on for about 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Right?
So basically, and you've had, like, a show from the get-go.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Very soon in. I as soon as I was fully back in Toronto, I went to this one other show that was pretty good. I overheard, like, the bar I hang out at that, like, the banjo players can't play banjo anymore. And I was just, boom, like, the owner was right there. I'm like, hey, can I throw on a comedy show?
Yeah.
Like, I know some people will throw a little. And it started with, like, 8 people. Now it's big, but the only reason I brought that up for now, I mean, I'm glad people know and whatever, but is, I think it's interesting how you, kind of got into this because of Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan is a comedian, but he's also doing the podcast, and, like, the way you started, is with the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, you're 6 months, but look at this setup, and you're doing it in that model. I just wanted to tell you real quick, I think I said this earlier, but one of my biggest, like, whatever, the people I look up to ever is Jon Stewart. And, yeah, like, I haven't been able to do that yet with the talk show format.
Yeah.
But, like, I want that as part of what I do. Like, a talk show is, like,
well, my why don't you game. Think of, like, doing, like, you said how you wanted to organize your own podcast, live, right?
No. I'm happy to be on podcasts, but I don't think I'd do one.
But, like, make one. You could have your own, you could have your own podcast, but it's, like, that format of a Jon Stewart show.
Like a talk show?
Yeah.
Maybe.
That,
it's just
it's like a,
there's so many of them now, the podcast.
That's like, more like a webcast.
Is it the new TV? It's kind of like the new TV. It's like just listen to podcasts
TV
all day.
Is I barely watch TV now.
I watch two shows. What shows do you watch right now?
Like Game of Thrones and like I'm pretty big on NCIS. Like I'll switch back in between like the three that they have now between like NCIS regular, Los Angeles, and New Orleans. Okay. So I'm big on like the crime.
Cool.
For some reason, I stopped watching like CSI like 3 years ago and switched to like the other acronym, which is like so close to NCIS and CSI. Almost like you can cross them together, and then CIS is NC is
it's
in
like
NCIS.
It's like the Parks Rec of the other one's office, you know.
Yeah, but for some reason, well, because it's the Navy, and I think that's why I like it better.
Well,
it's
military
like,
structure in there.
Yeah, and yeah. I need
they have
that
to call
structure.
A judge advocate general or some shit. Like it's different terms.
Yeah,
it's
and
more
that,
structured. It's a general walks through like
and I it,
big boys
and it, a lot of the times it's like. Terrorist or related or something like that instead of it being like a serial killer or a rapist or something
okay,
like that
okay,
right where
yeah.
I'm not getting
so you can be
that.
Like yeah I want to get behind this let's get them instead of just like holy shit this many people are getting raped
yeah
like fuck I didn't know society was that bad.
Well this is the thing like my mom is an interventionist and she watches Intervention like I'm like fuck. Don't you get tired of it?
Yeah, she gets no escape.
No.
That's supposed to be your escape.
Yeah.
You're like, just watch more of the...
Yeah.
But then maybe she, like, maybe that's also,
well,
like,
that's,
homework
it,
for her
it,
work,
it got,
too. Maybe it's
like,
teaching her...
It's the same thing with me, where
you ever
I
see,
went
like,
to a
if
podcast.
You ever watch it with her, and she's like, that's not how you do it. Has that ever happened?
No.
She's just like, this person's an amateur. That's not how you intervene.
A lot of people know, like, my former drug history, and fucking, like, I'll be sitting there watching and be like, this person should not be shooting themselves up. They should have somebody doing it for them. Like, that's one thing
Wait,
I can never...
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, they'll be fucking loading up the rig, and they'll be shaking so bad, and they'll, like, try, and, like...
But really, that means no one, like, they shouldn't be doing it, right? Like,
well, no, that's the anticipation of the rush.
Holy
that's
fuck.
How big, like, they're so excited, and they're shaking.
If they don't get it, they're gonna fucking...
And, like, a lot of the thing with, like, with people, and anybody who does coke will tell you, as soon as you get the baggie and you do that first line, you usually have to take a shit. And I don't know, it's like, it's the anticipation of that first line and you doing it and like that release that it's just like opens up your fucking asshole and you're just like, run for the toilet. It's really bizarre.
You think you could also, it's like, cause shitting is like taking all the bad stuff that's in you and it's like, this has to go. This has to leave the body. We need it out. Get it out. It gets out of your butt.
Well,
so, like, if you do a line, like, A, it's like your body, especially if you're used to it, your body knows. It's like, oh, shit, we got a lot of bad stuff coming in. So let's get rid of the bad stuff we have now. Like, we don't even have room for the stuff we have because there's a
crack is the opposite. A crack, instead of shitting, you puke. You know,
Ooh.
You puke.
Ooh.
Like, and it's like, and a lot of people who smoke crack, that their first hit, they'll hold it till they feel like they're gonna go puke, and then they're high as a kite for like 10 minutes, and then they're chasing that for like the rest of the fucking night. It's so bad. So bad. Like, there was times where, and then the funny thing is like 9 out of 10 addicts, like, who smoke crack will also do this thing that I call picking. And any little, like, see how this is just an ash, right?
Yeah.
They would think that that is, like,
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've heard about that. Hold on. Let's get to the bottom. This is an urban legend that I've said as true, and I think I'm like 90% sure it is true.
It's
but,
true.
But hold on. Maybe with crack too, but definitely like with meth, they can, if they've done enough of it and shit, there's a point where it's like soaking out of their skin to the point where, okay, so if they have a scab, they can pick their scabs and they can actually get high from smoking it.
Ew.
And they do.
Ew.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
That's so
internet, tell
gross.
Me if that's bullshit, but like I'm pretty sure it's true. Ugh. And that alone is why you should never do it at all, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not judging you if you do, but it's like, don't do the mental gymnastics. Yeah, crocodile's another one.
Oh.
Yeah. That'll actually make you green. You'll actually become green.
You'll actually fucking like
if
pick
you
your
do
skin
these
off.
Things. Like, no harm, no foul. Don't beat yourself up for it. But just get in the... I know I'm being preachy, but get in the method. Get a way to stop. Like, try to stop until you can stop. Like,
so
please.
You smoke weed and stuff.
I smoke weed, yeah,
what
I do.
About hallucinogens?
I dabbled? You know, it's... Yeah. You know, once in a while.
I think we've all dabbled at least a little bit.
Yeah. The only thing I haven't... I don't do the chemicals. You know what I mean? I've never... I mean, maybe I sound tame, but I've never even done coke. Yeah, I've never put it on my nose. Like, I just don't want anything in my nose. Like, I just don't want it.
That's not a bad thing, believe me.
I hate the... you ever been in... You know, of course, when you're swimming and you accidentally pull a little bit of water through your nose and it's like...
Well,
it's not even brain freeze like a Slurpee. It's like this brain, like, burn. You know? You get the chlorine in your nose.
Yeah, yeah.
And your head... It's like you're in your head...
Sorry, I'll let you in on something about the cocaine nowadays compared to, like, even
I heard it's shit anyways.
Well,
yeah.
Not only is it shit, is that in Colombia they've banned ether, and ether is like a main thing in the process of making it into paste. So instead of ether, what they're using now is just straight like diesel and gasoline.
Ugh.
So you'll do like a gram of blow, and like the next day you'll hop in the shower and fucking all you smell is like fucking gasoline.
Oh, see,
in
that's
your
not
nose.
I don't
and
care how
it
high
like
it gets you. It's just not worth it to me. To
yeah.
me, it's like I can smoke some really good Canadian weed and get high as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I could, if I never want to be sober, I can fucking always be high and still function and still have a good time and be fucking myself and, like, you know what I mean?
Like I don't even drink
how
alcohol.
High do you want to get? Like, I get it. People have bad lives. Like, my life isn't fucking perfect. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we fucking struggle and we make it, but it's like, how much of an escape do you want? If you want that much escape, like, you're better off dead. Like, this world is, like, not... for you or something, you know. It's like to say
it's one of those things where you just, if you're gonna, I smoke a lot of weed, like, and people bitch at me for it, like, they're like, you smoke
really?
Weed all day. But I'm not smoking a joint every time I smoke weed. I'm doing like a bong rip maybe like every 45 minutes or so, where it's yeah, it might seem excessive, but in the long term, or in like the like throughout the day, it's maybe like a couple of grams.
Yeah,
where that would be
and
like
everyone's
four
touched
joints.
On it. It's cliche to say, but it's true. It's just so like way it's way less harmful than fucking booze alone. Like if you just drink like a few beers every night, or like get a little buzzed every night. You're doing way worse to you. Like, in
fuck
by 100
yeah.
times. It's like, come on.
Definitely, like, definitely.
What do you feel about dabs? You like dabs?
I'm liking the dabs. I've got a couple of, like, setups that I'm using right now. I just actually lost my little micro G-Pen.
I think I'm so on them. I think, like, I see how great they are. Get fucking super baked. But it's like... I think for me, it's like maybe like a once in a while thing.
Yeah.
Because like I mean, I smoke all, I'm less the last month or so, but usually I smoke like all the fucking time. And I do smoke joints. I smoke big joints. I roll enough to share. Always smoking big joints.
That's
getting
thing.
Super high.
You see,
and then
you
I smoke dabs and I do. And, but then I smoke dabs and it's like way higher. And it's like back to what I'm saying. It's like how high, like that's too, like I'll fall asleep if I do that. And
or. What I did was I did a set at Vape on the Lake, and I was doing dabs before going up on stage, and fucking as soon as I hit the stage, I fucking blanked my whole set. It was bad.
And the thing is, like, okay, you know how, like, it's like old hippies will always tell you, like, oh, the weed we smoked was from Mexico, and it wasn't as strong as what you kids are smoking.
That
and that's
Mexican
in that new
swag,
Harper ad. It's like, it's 300 times stronger, which really made me proud. I was like, yeah, like, we
good. Yeah.
But like, what when they say that, and I think about how high I get, and that's my normal, think about kids who only smoked vaporizers their whole life, never even smoked joints. They're getting higher than us on a regular. So now think about kids. Fucking, I started smoking weed the first time, at least not frequently, but at 13.
Yeah.
First time. Think about kids who are doing it 13, 14, 15 all the time, just dabs. They're getting so much higher. And what is the long-term effect on their brain?
Because
if you're
that,
an old enough person,
what's the long-term effect on society?
Yeah.
Because there's these dab bars now where, and you like, you walk in and it's, everybody, it looks like a crack den.
Yeah, like I think if you do too much of that, like you shouldn't drive home. Like it's just like drunk driving.
Not.
Like you're gonna fall asleep, bro.
Yeah.
Like come on, you gotta
at least chill out for a couple of hours.
Yeah, like maybe if you do the dabs and then like watch a whole movie or something, like you're good.
That's more like it. But like fuck, there's
just like yo, one more for the road. It's like no, one more and you're on the road.
Yeah,
like, fuck.
We'll be scraping you off of the road after this one. You
also the blowtorches.
Yeah.
Like, they gotta fix that technology, because, like, I don't like all these people walking around with blowtorches.
Yeah.
Stoners all day with blowtorches? Like, come on. Someone's gonna drop it. Someone's gonna fucking whatever. Your backpack's gonna explode.
Yeah, that's the big one. And, like, people walking around with extra little canisters.
Yeah, you don't think terrorists are like, oh, yeah, just pretend to fucking, love dabs.
Like,
be a dab salesman.
Well, think about your fucking... how much butane is left over in a dab that you're inhaling?
Yeah, I don't get the science behind it either. I think somehow that's that part of it's okay. I think because one of the ways of extracting the oil, I remember not before dabs came about, it was like to cook or whatever. One way is like you put it in the oven and you put like isopropyl on it or something, you know what I mean, and it clumps
that,
up, and I remember being like what, and it's
and
like no, it all burns off
the honeybee extract,
I think
away.
That's yeah,
and you that
so it burns
off
and it's like
but
fine.
there's still got to be trace amounts,
yeah.
You know what
I
mean? I
agree, yeah, I don't like
so
that
there's
it's...
gonna be some type of leftover
they'll eventually
shit.
It'll be like you'll have a little pen thing that's like
that's why I like
super
the
hot to the touch. It'll
that's
be like,
why I like the G pen.
Oh, is that what that is?
The G pen.
It's flameless.
It's flameless.
Oh, that's
first
perfect.
Of all,
see, there you go.
All it is just a little coil, and the coil is it's electric. So, and you fill up your little fucking chamber, and you put this. I think I have something. No, fuck.
Yeah, but yeah, you put it in there,
yeah.
And it just kind of, it's like
it
a
looks
vaporizer
like, it
sort
looks
of.
Like, it's like the same
that big,
size as like the little part, and then there's another part that connects, which is the battery part, and you join the two together with the connector, and that's how it gets power, right?
That's great.
And you just hold it and suck on it, and it's literally goes, like, you could, if you take the piece off and have it just showing, the element will glow, like, bright red.
Nice.
And so you know it's working. Same
nice.
Thing goes for those, they have a Snoop Dogg G pen.
Yeah, actually,
I
did hear about that. Yeah,
it like I have two of them, like of the Snoop Dogg ones. But the thing that I find is that it doesn't like it takes a while for it to like start like vaping.
Okay.
And I feel like by the time I get it to start fucking vaping at a decent heat, like your weed is done. And then you gotta reload it, and you're like, fuck, I just wasted so much weed.
Mm.
And then you gotta spend all that time reheating the next batch of weed. And it's just like, cause I've had, I bought a Volcano when, like, that thing first came out. So I've had, yeah, they're pretty efficient, right? So,
hashing a Volcano is,
yeah.
Like, insane. Like,
yeah.
That's like, you'll melt into your couch.
Yeah. Definitely will melt into, not only that, will you'll melt the hash into the fucking, into that special pad they give you.
Yeah, you're talking about psychedelics. I've done a little mushrooms, done a little acid.
I got some mushrooms right now that I'm like waiting for like a special occasion to eat, and I'm just I can't wait.
That's the thing. It's like they're no good in the winter. No. You don't want to fucking sit inside all day in the same place, and it just gets all weird.
Like the last time I did them was with like my buddy who passed, so I'm like, this is gonna be like an event. Cause
you ever walk down like just middle of downtown, like
on
middle
shrooms?
Like late at night, on shrooms, acid, do it, man. Trust me, like at a certain point, you start to feel like most of these buildings. Like, because a lot of buildings downtown are trippy as fuck, right?
Oh,
but, like, we walk by them all the time, and we're not paying attention, and nobody gives a fuck. No one's looking up. But all of a sudden, you're looking up, and you're like, it's like these were all made for us to look at on shrooms. Like, it's like the architect is in on it. He was on shrooms. It's like, why else did you put so many, like, crazy neon lights in this, like, corporate building? No one's looking. Like, I'm looking now, and it's like, you go down certain parts. Toronto's great for this. Go down, like, you know, like, around Queen's Park and stuff, like, on University.
Yeah.
It looks so majestic all of a sudden. There's all flags and, you know, you're walking around and you're like, oh, the ambassador. Like, may I present the young stoner kids from Toronto. Like, you're so regal. It's, like, fucking sick.
Speaking of torches.
Yeah. See, I don't like, you know, I don't want a bunch of kids walking around. You're going to start getting robbed with these in the park. Some kids are gonna come up to you, like, put it right up to you. What are you gonna do? You're gonna think twice? Like, pop, burn. Like, come on. Gotta be careful. It's just, I don't know, a lot of, you know, cause you put up a can of Axe to this.
Oh,
now you got a flamethrower. You got, what, every kid has a flamethrower now? Like, you know? Thank God they're stoners, at least, but... They get a little taste of the coke, and then all of a sudden, all of them are, like, rolling up on you with these flamethrowers. You dropped your,
lighter. But, what I'm looking for is my pack of cigarettes. There's there goes the camera. Here, you entertain them. I'm gonna run out to my car and check.
How you guys doing? I was talking to them a little bit, like, earlier in the car, one thing you gotta do, if you're getting into comedy, I don't know too much about comedy. Look, my material needs a lot of work. I'm fucking grinding, you know, just trying to practice and shit. But one thing that will help, and this is no bullshit, is start a room. Start a room. Do it as soon as you can. You know, for almost as long as I've been out there doing shows, I've been doing my own show. And the main reason is you won't have to go out 8 times a week to get 5 minutes at a time. When you can just fucking, throughout the night, I mean, my show right now is 7 hours. So, like, throughout the night, I get it all out. All that material that I want to practice, boom. You know what I mean? And in the meantime, you're putting other people on, you're giving people stage time, you can see new people come through, you can see, like, the big heavies, you know, they eventually come, like, you know, they'll practice something, it'll work somewhere else. Like, you know, it helps. It's all, we're all, I don't know, Toronto is a community for that, and that's really something I'm, proud of. I don't know how it is like in New York and stuff. Like, I know they got a bigger comedy scene, but I don't know if it's like the same kind of community aspect. You know, what do you think about that?
For what?
Like, you're newer, but like, you notice how like in Toronto there is like a big community driven aspect of the comedy
it's
circuit.
Very,
you know what I
very,
mean?
Very
we all kind of know, we all kind of talk, we'll like hang out and like support each other. It's like, I don't know, you were going to LA back and forth a little bit. Do you think it's like that? You know?
LA is very,
LA's
very
got
communal.
That?
There's
That's
that
good.
Community feeling.
You think
at
New York
the
would be like
store.
That? You think New York's like that?
I find that would be more like a more solitary. But that's just like a feeling.
I mean, you hear about these places where it's like, there's first of all, there's no audience. I mean, and that's pretty common in Toronto too. Unfortunately, I'm not gonna lie. But like, you'll go to these places in New York with no audience, and every comic had to pay like $5. To get that, to be there, and it's as long as my show, but it's fucking,
that's ridiculous.
It's just, and then you go up there one at a time in this little cage, and like, you pay to be there, you get your 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and then it's like, all right, bye. And that's the only way the bar's making money. It's just like literally milking, you're in New York, you want to be a style at $5. Just come on. Like, when did it become this, I get that it's a month. Also, like, I don't know, like, what happened to that lost, there's this lost element of showbiz that I've been dreaming of since I was a kid in the movies, and then I've never really seen it yet. And I'm talking about like the more formal shows, the dinner and theater, like, you know, yeah. Like you ever see Man on the Moon, Jim Carrey, about Andy Kaufman?
Yes.
You see that scene where he's purposely fucking up and he gets Tony Clifton to come and fuck with him. And they do the switch around with Paul Giamatti.
Shout out to Tony Hinchcliffe, who knows Tony Clifton.
Oh, that's fucked.
He still fucking performs at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, he shows up. They got him. I don't know. It's like however they who the other. But anyway, so in that scene in that movie, there's one part where they're in this really nice lounge, and it's a bunch of Shriners, and they're all in tuxedos, and Andy Kaufman grabs one of their cigars and puts it out or whatever. The point is, like, they're all old people having a really nice meal, listening to comedy. There's a big band in the back, you know, like a 10-piece band. They're all in blue tuxes, like
orchestras.
Yeah, like, where is that? Where is that? It's like the nightlife. I was talking to my buddy O'Gorman about this kind of too, and he was saying it's because, like, back then it was more like the speakeasy sort of culture.
Yeah.
Like the Frank Sinatras and the Frankie Valleys and all these guys would play, like, the after-hour shows with the comedians. But, like, even still, like, there's still really rich people who like comedy. Like, I don't see where their shows are. The only time I've seen anything close
comedy
to
Comedy and
is,
Magic
uh,
Club.
What? What?
Comedy
Where's
and
that?
Magic Club. That's in Los Angeles.
Okay.
You have to wear a dinner
jacket. Yeah, jackets only. Beautiful. I love it. I'm all for that.
That's it. And there's, like,
even
magicians
if you're super poor,
comics.
You can get a jacket and have your nice night.
Yeah, and I
it's
think
not saying you gotta live have wear one every day.
I think they have loners too.
I'm sure they do. See, that's just like the movies. Then yeah, they're like, oh, we have one if you need, and it's like got the little crest or something.
Yeah.
See, I like that. I want. I've never seen that in Toronto.
That's Comedy and Magic Club. Jay Leno performs there, and like. Rogan's
beautiful.
Done sets after him. Like, that's why I know about it, because I've heard him speak about
Rogan,
it on his on his podcast.
The
right?
closest I've seen is, like, charity shows.
Yeah.
Like, I was an usher a long time ago at one of these theaters here on Mervish. I don't know, it's called Night of Too Many Stars, and it was a charity thing, but they had, like, some music, some comedy, and everyone was
so it was like a back and forth type thing.
Yeah, but I don't see those people going out, maybe later. But
they were here the whole time.
Oh, that was them. Sick. That's perfect.
Holy shit.
That's perfect. I love it. I love when that happens. Fuck. You ever find like a nug you forgot like a while ago? It's the same if you find a 20 you forgot
found
a while
like,
ago, 20 bucks.
I like
but...
finding like the full-blown rolled joint.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's
just like,
that's
oh, fucking awesome. Here we go.
Don't mind if I do.
Exactly. Exactly. Speaking of rolled joints, I'm going to quickly spin one, another one for us.
Cool.
I'm
what
liking
else,
this
what else?
Raw rolling machine that I bought.
Yeah.
Shout out to Raw Papers. They're not a sponsor, but I'm just going to act like they are.
We appreciate
maybe,
them.
Maybe
we appreciate their
us.
Awesomeness. They make good rolling papers, and we're not just saying that. We're actually using it. So
exactly.
It's not bullshit.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Damn sure.
You're talking about, Vape on the Lake? I'm doing Vape on the Lake tomorrow night.
Oh, nice.
If anyone's interested.
Friday
it's,
night.
Wait, tomorrow's Friday?
Today's
Friday.
Today's
tomorrow
Friday.
Night, Saturday night. It's J.J. Lieberman's show.
Nice.
Nice. It's going to be a good time.
I like doing the Monday nights there.
Yeah?
The
I haven't
Monday
been yet. It's going to be my
a,
first time. I'm excited.
I did a Friday night there, too, and that
cool.
was fun. That
cool.
was fun.
Who's Friday? Nikish?
It was Natisha's show, but... Paul is the one who hooked it up. Yeah.
Sick.
Which is, it was hilarious meeting Paul for like the first time because my last name is also Thompson.
Nice.
And he's also half Irish, half Sicilian. And I'm also half Irish, half Sicilian.
So,
we were like,
you think you might?
We were definitely not family,
okay.
But we're like.
But it's like you're it's another close. Type of family.
Exactly.
You might as well be.
It's like, maybe we should hang out a bit more. But.
Like, you can get really close to someone who's a totally different nationality and be like, yo, we're brothers from a different mother. But now you're really close to someone, hopefully, or you find someone and you're like, we're brothers from a different mother with the same last name and with the two same countries of origin. And you're like, with that much, it's like one step above.
Yeah.
Like, bonus. It's nice. Toronto, man. I love how multicultural Toronto is. I can't even imagine how different my life would have been. I can't imagine it, but it's like I don't want to. It scares me. Like the way my life has shaped out.
Well, you just, said like, you moved here when cultures. You were one, right?
Yeah.
Where were you originally from?
Oh, I was born in Iran, Tehran.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah. So you would definitely not be doing stand-up if you were still there.
You know, I probably wouldn't be. I want to go back and do it there one day. That'd be really cool. But I don't think it would, I mean.
Do they even have stand-up?
They do, yeah.
They have, like, a form of it.
They have a form of it. I mean, they had our stuff in the 50s, in the 60s,
yeah,
in the 70s.
But now the
right now, there's nothing, yeah.
Unto that, right?
I just don't think, it's a different culture, too. It's like, it was never really quite the same. But they would have touring, like, acts and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Sinatra used to play in fucking Tehran way back.
What I found, what I've heard is in Japan.
Yeah.
Stand up is like a two guy thing. Like,
okay.
Most of the acts are like
two people
where,
like, with music too, like a Flight of the Conchords or something. Like,
not necessarily, but like injury type, like slapstick almost.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Really bizarre.
Your
like
Three
I had,
Stooges kind of hitting each other. Maybe.
Yeah, like they're at that stage of like where in because it's almost like. Depending on what your culture, where your culture's from, and how you have like been, first of all, how free you are to speak your mind, that's obviously a huge, huge factor.
That's the main factor, really.
Yeah,
it's like you can't do that anymore in Iran. Like it's more like someone's wedding or something. It's kind of like more an MC comedian thing.
Okay, so
you know,
you
there's
could...
a dude who's like, hey, and they're big on regional jokes, so they'll do like an accent of like, you know how we'll do like a Newfie joke, or we'll be like, oh, like, so I met a Cape Bretoner, and
like,
he's
like,
I swear to fuck,
Russell Peters tour is there though, like,
in Iran.
I'm not sure if he's done Iran, but he's done like
he should, but I don't think he has yet. That would have made more news. We would have heard.
He's
about
done
that.
Like the Lebanon and shit.
Yeah, I'm sure they've done
in
Lebanon
the middle
and
of
stuff.
The, like in the middle
it's
of the war.
Funny too, because those places
are more dangerous.
They're actually much more dangerous.
Yeah.
It's just that they're still on the good country list in certain ways. You know what I mean? It's like Syria still has credit card banking,
but
and all that shit, even though it's like straight up terrorists everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you can still, like, if you're in the good part of Syria that's not, what, you can still be, like, unhijabbed. Like, you know what I mean?
Fuck.
So it's like, it's weird. The whole Middle East, man, it's fuck. Yeah, I'm from Iran. It's crazy. But yeah, Canada, bro, like, I thank my lucky stars all the time. Even if we lived in the States, I think my life would be substantially different.
Oh, yeah.
And even, I mean, I love Canada. I have faith that I would kind of be able to live anywhere here. I've lived on the East Coast for a bit, but I still think there's something very magical about Toronto. And it is, I mean, the Economist, you saw that article in The Economist? They're not chumps. They're not just like randomly like, which city do I like the most? Like, best for shopping. Like, they, is it still on your mind?
Yeah,
they are a serious syndicated magazine,
yeah.
And their like stat breakdown proved Toronto right now is the best place to live, with Montreal second, which is sick. I love Montreal. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, I've never been.
Oh, Montreal's great,
I'm
bro.
28 years old.
I don't know about
I've
the comedy there at all.
Montreal.
I mean, I do for like just for laughs, but that's like seasonal. I don't know about the weekly comedy thing, especially English. But Montreal, man, is a gem. That is the best. See, we're immigrants, like you were, like we're saying. I've always wished I had a cottage. Growing up, I wish I had a cottage. My friends always had cottages.
Yeah.
Luckily enough, I've been to theirs, and some of them are even better than, like, houses. You know what I mean? Like,
nice
cottages on the beach, all that. But so my family never had a cottage, but we always had businesses and stuff. And one of our family businesses was this, like, apartment and hotel building in Montreal.
Oh, nice.
So since I was a kid, we would always summer in Montreal, and I always got to, like, go, and, like, obviously we didn't pay for a room. It's, like, our place.
Exactly.
So just, like, you know, and it was mostly the family. It's, like, Jazz Fest and that kind of stuff. But then right before my grandpa sold it, he was, like, we're going to have it till the end of the year. He's, like, go, like, now if you want to, like, use it. And me, my girlfriend at the time, and our other, like, best friend, this other girl, We just went for like a week and a half before Christmas till a little bit after New Year's and just ripped it apart, man. Montreal's sick.
Yeah,
you can drink when you're 18. All the booze is super cheap. All the food is cheap.
I've been
unless
to
you're
Quebec,
in old Montreal.
But like the booze.
Nah, Quebec is whatever. It's great,
shit.
But like no, Montreal, bro. Even Quebec City, it's like I'm really into history, so I'll go to Quebec City and like check out the Governor General residence and like check out the old war forts and stuff. Love it. Heritage Canada, amazing. But like. People aren't even smiling in Quebec, man. People are like pissed off all the time.
Well,
like,
because they're always
half
cold.
Montreal, though, oof, warms the soul. It's great, and they don't sleep. It's like New York in the sense that, like,
even
second cup there is like either 24 hours or like at least open till like 2 a.m.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, people are chilling at Indigo at like 1 a.m. Like Indigo, like everywhere. People are just hanging out, walking around. Like, I remember seeing, actually, for three summers in a row, I saw the same car. It's an SUV, and it was right when, this was when this shit was kind of new. Like, now if someone did, it's like, big deal. But when it was new to have, like, a screen in the back of your car, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when that shit was, like, just popping off, and it was a bunch of black guys, or not a bunch, but like three, four of them in this big ass SUV with that. And I remember as a kid, I was like 12, 13, and 14, always passing by and like seeing and being like, whoa, like it's like people just chill. Like they just chill in their car. It's like everyone's just out is my point. Like Montreal, you just fucking, I mean, now that I think about it, maybe that was something else. But like Montreal, like you just, everyone's just friendly. It's just cool. Sick. I love it. Shout out to Montreal. That's what I'm saying.
Like, I remember going to a bar in Chapeau, and they just had fucking slot machines randomly in the bar.
Whoa. That I saw in Halifax. Halifax still has that.
Yeah, but I think it was because they were in the boonies, and it was like you had to drive far to like go to a casino, so they wanted the slots there at the bar.
Yeah, like in Halifax, even the nice clubby kind of places have like a little room in the back with like old pensioners who are just like pumping away on these like video slots. That's why in Trailer Park Boys, he's like, oh, you went for the video slots again, the video pokers. Like, that's the way she goes, boys. Like, he's always, they're just everywhere. Like, if you're into that, you can't escape it. Just every corner is like, put in your money.
The cafes on the Danforth and shit are.
They have those?
Well, yeah, like the Italian little espresso bars and shit like that.
Yeah.
They have them in the back. And, like, because my godfather used to own a place on the Danforth near Woodbine. And, like, he had
but they're actual gambling?
Yeah, like, the Hell's Angels own the machines. You have to pay, that's just how things work. But it's not technically illegal. Like, it's a weird, it's illegal to the point where if you have them and you get caught with them, it's illegal. But to do it, it's not illegal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, if you're playing it, you can't get in trouble for playing it. But if you're operating it, you could get in trouble. So it's like one of those things. But I didn't work in the place, so I don't know like the ins and outs of the business. It's
good.
Like what
you don't want to. You don't want to know too much about that stuff.
No, it's like
what
you hear through the grapevine living on the Danforth, right? It's like everybody knows how those things technically work. Growing up on the Danforth was really trippy, though, because it was like growing up on.
The whole good city thing. Like, we're not perfect either. Like, the thing is, it's
we're
like
more trouble in like the 80s and 90s than now. It was more dangerous then.
I know someone who's like a contractor and stuff, and they tell me that like, it's not surprising like at all. That when you're busting up a house, to find like people in the floorboards and shit.
That's
not even like construction. Maybe they're a rookie, like first timer, be like, whoa, gee guys. But like most of the time, they're like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Call the right guy, like, and just okay, and we're back to work. Like that's,
There's like I remember like one of my best friends growing up, his uncle
was deported because he blasted some dude in the chest with a fucking sawed-off shotgun and just, like, walked up point-blank, boom.
That's fucked.
When we were kids.
It was like, that's, I hope, I mean, none of my business, but I hope, and generally I find that when I see this kind of stuff in Toronto, especially gunplay, it's usually crime on crime.
Oh, usually. Yeah, yeah.
Like I don't see many, like, if you're in Philly or something, if you're in Chicago, like, I want to go to those places. Those places are great towns, you know, but, like, you, like, there are people who will just get mugged and maybe shot for, like, mugged? Nothing. Oh, yeah, I've been mugged, yeah, a few times, yeah.
I've been mugged before.
Oh, yeah.
I got mugged by my neighbor. Like, that's he literally awesome. Lived two doors down from me, and, like, I was, like, 13 or 12 at the time, and he was like 16, and him and his buddy fucking jumped me in an alley because they knew I had like money in my wallet because I was going to Wonderland on a school trip, so like, oh, he's got cash, blah blah blah, so they jumped me. And within, like, obviously within a half hour, fucking cops were at the kid's house.
See, this is the thing, like, that's the kind of stuff, the little stuff like that, like kids on kids, like jump you for your Wonderland money. That's the shit I don't want these blowtorches around for.
Exactly.
This is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? It's like, that's fucked.
There was much trouble that I could, like, that I'm so glad I avoided. Like, I've gotten into, like, quite a bit of trouble, but believe me, I got off easy when it comes down to it in the end. Definitely.
I agree with, I just saw the on the Oscar red carpet. I didn't even see the whole thing, but I saw bits of it. The Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Someone was like, so what made you want to go into comedy? And he said that, like, well, where he was from, you either had to fight or you had to be funny.
Yeah.
And you
couldn't fight.
And, like, I'm not, Toronto isn't a place where you have to be able to, there are places in Toronto and there are people who, like, grow up in a situation where they pretty much have to fight
or
survive, but
it was my mechanism.
But I and maybe I'm wrong, viewers, you know, I hope I'm not, like, I do think that overall, and especially compared to a lot of cities this big around the world, there's way less of that, like, you have to fucking eat or you're gonna be eaten. Like, there is always some sort of opportunity out there here. You can, like, you know,
like,
and I didn't have to do that option, but I think in life, at least growing up and around, seeing people go bad paths, I thought, like, to myself, it's like, I'm just the funny guy in the corner.
Do you have, like, an older sibling or something?
No.
So you were probably in the same boat as me, where I used my funniness as, like, a defense mechanism to, like, defuse a confrontation of the situation.
Bro, I've gotten into, like, three fights my whole life. Like, you know what I mean? I've gotten out of fights and, like, become actual friends with people.
Like, I've talked, like, myself
while they're about to beat me up, and I'm like, yo, just fight with your words, man. And they're like, ah, this motherfucker. And then, like, 2 days later, we're like boys, you know what I mean? And then it's like someone else at the party, like, doesn't like me. The same dude will be like, yo, Van Ads with me. It'll be like, all right, like, you know, it was like. It's just like you being the funny guy. It's like back in the day, like medieval times. That's what the court jesters and shit were.
Yeah.
If your king understood you and you're the court jester in, like, a proper setup, you could be, like, telling off, like, diplomats and, like, other knights and fucking warlords to their face.
That was your job.
And, like, they can't do shit. Like, that's gangster. That's why I want to be like Jon Stewart and Colbert. Like, it's beyond comedy at that point. Like, at that point, you are, like, making, like, social policy decisions.
Well, like...
Like, with the big boys.
90% just of, through, youth now get their news from those guys, which is crazy.
And it's true. That is dangerous, but it's at least if they're only watching them or only watching Fox, they will literally get better news from them.
Yeah.
So that is true. But young people and everyone needs to be getting multiple sources. And if you really want to know what's going on, you have to even look at and follow the people that you don't think, like, are good.
Yeah.
And that think are, like, fully shit.
Like, this,
like,
is...
the scum. Like, you have to know what the KKK are thinking.
Oh, yeah.
You have to know what neo-Nazis... You have to know what ISIS is thinking. You know, otherwise they will win. You have to fucking be able to, like, fight them at their shit.
I've got a pretty big, like, spectrum that I watch. And, my like, I'll run through, like, the shows that I watch on the regular. And I'll watch, like...
news? This is all news or just...
Basically, yeah. All news shit. And I'll watch, like, Joe Rogan. Because he'll have shit. And I'll trust him. Because
he's a legit guy.
Man. Yeah, he'll research the fucking topic, and he'll have, like, the person he has on will know about the topic. Like, he had Shane Smith on recently.
He's had him on a lot, the Vice co-founder.
Yeah, but he had him on recently.
I'm glad you said that, because I really like Vice. But I like Vice, the HBO, but also their website.
But the thing with
like
HBO,
Vice News, like, I... don't like what, like, Vice started at that as this, like, they're like, you know, hipster kind of
bohemian
thing
and
like whatever, and like I don't like any of that. I love their news. I think their news, like, especially with, like, the Russian roulette, I watched that from the first day, from when it's like, hey, we got random green soldiers in Crimea, to like now it's like bombs every day. Like, Dispatch 94.
I've been watching that shit since when they came out with the Vice Guide to Travel.
Exactly. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Hunting the Nazis in Bolivia or Argentina.
And the radioactive fucking boars that they went hunting for in Chernobyl.
In Chernobyl, okay, yeah. The dirty bombs in, like, Belgrade or something. And it's like in his mother's flower pot. Like, holy fuck. That shit, amazing. Like, breakthrough. The whole fashion do's and don'ts and, like, judgy hipster thing. That part of Vice, maybe that's how it started, but that part needs to die. Because that's, like, it's useless. It's just like...
Well, now the thing that, like, he's been traveling...
They're good. They're smart. Like, they're getting stories before anyone.
He got drunk on Joe Rogan's show a couple weeks ago and told his biggest scoop on this season of Vice.
I haven't seen it. What is it?
He's been basically talking to, like, the top medical teams in the world who are doing both HIV and cancer research. And basically what they've done is they took the HIV virus, they starved it of T cells, and started feeding it cancer cells, and it worked. So now they can cure cancer with HIV.
Wait, no, you mean HIV with cancer?
No, cancer with HIV. And the HIV... won't eat like that. It won't do what it's designed to do. It just will eat the cancer. And they're doing it with other viruses like measles.
So you take two really bad things and you, like, mush them together.
Well, what they've done is basically they took HIV.
Like
the way he described
Chinese
it,
fighting fish.
Sorta, but the way he described it was. So HIV itself is an eater, like it eats things, like, but it's designed to eat your T cells, and that's how AIDS gets about, right?
Okay.
But what they decided to do was, like, all right, well, if it only eats the T cells, let's starve it of those T cells so that it's, like, so hungry, and then we'll only feed it cancer cells, and it started. Feeding on the cancer cells and, like, emaciating it.
So then what do? They gotta give cancer patients HIV?
They treat, like, the infected area. It's really, like, I have to, like, he only talked about it, right? He only, like, delved into it a little bit.
That's
but, like,
fucked.
It's like,
so maybe it's not, like, HIV in the blood, it's HIV in the
syringe. It's really, it's so... It's super.
I can't wait till that shit comes out. That's wild.
Because he even used, like, they took measles and re-engineered measles do the same thing. And measles is another one of those diseases that killed us, like, 50 years ago. It was known to kill us on the regular.
I can't believe the shit in the States right now. The whole.
He said they took measles.
I don't
want to
give my kids vaccinations, and then they all, like, Disneyland is, like, infected with fucking measles now.
Yeah.
You're like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, And like we you got all that shit as a kid too, or what?
Yeah,
I got all that shit in Canada.
I'm below the date where they did the smallpox and the measles vaccine.
Really?
Because I'm 28.
Wow.
So I'm under
26.
You're under it too.
Yeah. No, I got when we were kids, we got all our things,
but
and then
you
there
came
was
from a different country though. That's that might be why. That
no,
you had
I'm talking
to get
about
it.
In grade school, we all got it. There were the days in grade school where all our my class got our certain shots, and there's a little government booklet, and I have
yeah,
all the stamps.
But that was like
there's two that we didn't get, but then I actually moved to the States once, and I
went. You had to get one of them.
Yeah, I had to get two shots before that school would let me in. But and I'm talking about in the middle of Texas, conservative Christian Bible Belt, and even there, the school made you get those vaccinations before
really?
You're even allowed in the school. So I don't even understand how so many Americans didn't get it. How did they go to school?
You know, you can
are these
not,
all homes?
Well, you
homeschool?
Can you can the it's actually they told you it's the law, but really it's not the law.
Well, I'm glad I got it because apparently I would have fucking caught some shit over there. Like, come on, like I don't want.
It's such a it's one of those things where you're just like, well,
I remember one of the years there was one kid who had a written thing. This I'm talking about in Canada, like grade school. There was one kid who had the sign thing from his parents to be omitted and not get
yeah.
it. But that was one kid in our whole class.
Yeah.
So okay, but if this many people are getting it. And I think it's because America, they have different, their school system's different. Like, here, it's, like, all Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're private, I think you kind of fall under that or something. There, it's, like, you can have all these different school systems. So, maybe the one I went to in Texas had it where you have to. But,
it's
like, these 10 next to me, these other 10 schools, it's up to you. And you can just not get it. So, you don't, like.
It's one of those things where you're just. It's like
it's really a civil liberties debate, if because it's like at what point do you still get to choose what to do? Like, should you be able to choose whether you get those vaccines for you and your kids, or should that be like a government law? Because if it is, people will be like, well, you're not giving me the choice. But it's like, are there certain things in life that you think the government like should make sure you do, like, like shouldn't give you a choice in.
No,
can
I
that ever? Be
I don't
good?
Think so. I don't
or
think
it'll
so.
Always be bad.
I think it'll always be bad to a certain extent.
But like, if we all had vaccinations and it's paid for, government gave it to us all, wouldn't that be better?
I'd. It makes me wonder. It seriously makes me wonder. It's. It's one of those things where, like, I'd have to.
Or, like, you know, yeah, I don't know. It could. It's like.
Stumped ourselves.
Yeah, no,
I think we're both fucking stoned.
It's not just me. Like, I've heard this a million times where they're like, well, should you. You have to get a license to marry. You do. Like, when you.
Yeah.
Like, you get a marriage license from City Hall.
Yeah.
But we don't ever get a child license.
No, you should
parental
have a
license
fucking.
Right? But then that would be, like, mandatory, right?
I gotta go check on what he's barking at. One second. Entertain these folks again.
Alrighty. So what are you guys into? What kind of sex do you guys like? Huh? You guys do a doggy, rough, rough? Or what do you guys like? Ah, love it. You gotta explore, you know? I haven't seen 50 Shades of Grey, but I mean, it's good that it's like, that's, to me, that's like a milestone, because it means that the whole fetish thing is like coming into the mainstream enough that it's, but it's been tame for a while, to be honest. Like, I mean, people have had at least like a handcuff or a little whip or something for like tons of time. One time I was with a girl and she busted out bondage tape. Now, if you ever get a chance, that stuff's pretty good because it doesn't stick to skin. It only sticks to itself, so it's the illusion of danger and real restraint, but ultimately you're safe and can get out of it anytime.
Giving tips?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you know, like S&M and all that kind of like fetish stuff is becoming like mainstream.
Yeah.
So it's like if people are into that, it's like that's good because now it's like they're out of the shadows. I feel like whatever weird shit people are in, it should always be out there. Like, it should always just be put out there, not hidden. Because anytime you have to hide your anything you're into, it's going to go dark. Do you know what I mean? It's going to go bad.
Yeah.
Like, if it's just out there and it's accepted, then you can have a clean, glossy version of it that's, like, safe and good and transactions are approved and everything's, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like, I think, like, you know how, like, there's, like, the Village in, in Toronto?
Yeah.
I think that is, like, a form of segregation. I think it's, like, back in the day where it's, like, oh, this is the black area.
But they,
this,
like, is where the black people live. That they self-segregated, technically.
Maybe. Well, I don't know if they chose the Village back when that started. Maybe they did. Maybe they just... like, because if it's really, you're, like, yeah, we'll give an area that gays can just, like, go be gay or whatever, like, do their thing. You're giving them, like, the dirtiest area. You're giving them just, like, crackhead area, like, no funding, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they've,
it's
like regentrified it now.
It's true. They're making it a lot better. But still, it kind of, it forces them into the darkness, you know? It's just like...
Hey, man, at least they can get good spots.
It's true. Did you feel proud that Toronto hosted World Pride a few years ago?
We always the World Pride.
Yeah, it's because... Oh, is that me?
Yeah.
I'll turn it off.
It's all good. I just wanted to get everybody. Pistachio Farmer on Twitter is Vandad's Twitter handle, but it's not the regular way you spell pistachio. It's pistachio with an I. So it's pistachio.
Oh, I think I do it with an E.
Is it E O or I O? It's one of the two.
The real version is IO, but I think I do it with EO. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's one of the two. Look it up. You'll find it. Believe me, it's worth it.
V to the and dad.
There you
go.
V to the and dad.
Yeah, there you go.
V to the and dad. Follow him. Death Squad, shout out. Get it done. Follow back. Team follow back. Team Death
Squad.
Squad
link up. Squad's new, right? In slang, like, we never said squad as kids.
No, that's
true.
We'd
be like, yo, like, me and my boys, or, like some of my Jamaican friends would be like, mend them, but, like,
no,
squad,
I remember, like,
that's
squad
like,
up.
I hear a lot of people saying it now.
I remember.
Turned up. It's usually girls. It's usually, like, eight girls, like, in a picture. They're like, yo, squad showing up. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah. Remember earlier you were asking me about the whole, that, what, like, the, where did Death Squad come from?
Death Squad,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
What that it was all about. So it was actually given to Joe Rogan, Tate Fletcher, another UFC fighter, and I think Red Band may have been with them, but they walked into Opie and Anthony's show in New York, and they're like, whoa, it looks like the Death Squad just walked in. Like, because they're two fucking yoked MMA guys walk in with Joe Rogan, who's like a little yoked dude too, right? They're like, oh shit, it looked like a scary sight, and that's where they like took it and ran with it, and now it's like the name of their podcast network, to the name of like the on their T-shirts, everything. It's interesting, nonetheless.
Is this on that
network? Not yet, but that's sorry about that, guys. Fuck. Whoa. Holy shit! What was that all about?
Feedback.
That was crazy feedback. Whoa. Yeah, there we go. We're back to normal now, at least. Because it wasn't.
Death Squad's like, hey, not until you fix your acoustics. You ain't getting on this. No,
exactly.
No, sorry, I didn't ask. I don't know how this stuff works.
No.
It's cool, though. It's
I'm kind of starting my own little network right now. So.
But it's good. It's like, it's good that if those people are so sick, and they are. I know Joe Rogan and these guys are fucking dope as hell. I listen to his podcast. And that's your inspiration. And that's like what you're kind of modeling after that. Then, like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
You're shooting high, so... Keep at it. I'm happy to be here. This is fucking cool. Because I talk about trippy shit. Like, I talk, that's... But, like, what do you find funny? Like, what kind of stuff are you finding funny these days?
Well, right now, I'm kind of just working on, like, just my personal life shit. Like, a lot of, like, the drugs that I did, I'm just trying to get, like, that's what I'm talking about on stage right now, at least. So, it's.
What's a funny drug story like about like crackheads and shit or like?
Well, like
I know. I mean, I've been around all that shit.
I was pretty heavy into drugs, and like a lot of the people who listen to my show know that because like I posted like my second set ever on my show.
Yeah.
So then they've heard the story. But basically, me and my stepdad we had to get rid of a vehicle, and we drove it all the way to Pembroke, and we were high on speed the whole time. But he took like a left when he should have taken a right at some point, and we ended up like going 4 hours into Algonquin Park. And, like, it was moose mating season, and there's fucking moose, male moose is just fucking scattered all over the road. And I'm like, we're not supposed to, like, something's wrong, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking, like, this is before GPS.
And it would look different, like, on speed, too, right?
Well, no, everything looks normal still. It's oh, just, really? Like, you're fucking super amped up, and
okay,
you're fucking,
okay.
You can
you're
feel
like, ah,
everything.
Moose.
Yeah. I figure out that we made a wrong turn somewhere and we have to go back. And he's like, we don't have enough gas to get there. So we stop at a gas station and he goes in and tells the kid, like, it's some like 19-year-old kid. And my stepdad is fucking like basically methed out of his mind right now. And he's like, I need gas. I'm either going to take it or you're going to give it to me. Here's my telephone number. You call me and I'll wire transfer you the money, right? And the kid's just like, go ahead, take what you need. So we get to where we're going, get rid of he takes the van, ditches it in the Ottawa River, and 2 weeks later, the van is back and like in working condition. Like, they wanted like the insurance money to get a new vehicle. Because the van, they weren't liking it, so they wanted to get rid of this van, but the van didn't fucking it kept coming fucking back. The van just wouldn't die. It was so fucking bad, but like the entire we're driving around and he's trying to make a left hand turn while he's got a needle sticking out of his fucking vein, and it's so fucked up that, like, all you can do is just, like, laugh. It's not even funny in the sense that, like, that's funny.
You can make it funny.
Fucked up. That's why.
Just tighten it up a bit. Yeah, I like the imagery of the vein sticking out. It could be, like, maybe it gets into a... Maybe you could be, like... Because, like, Canadians are so polite, right? So...
Yeah.
Maybe while this kid is... this kid at the gas station, he sees your dad, and your dad's trying to like get this fuel.
Yeah.
And he the kid's so polite because he sees the needle, but he doesn't want to say anything, so he's just like, you can have whatever you need. Like, it's just like a Canadian.
Yeah. Chances are
Canadian standoff.
Something.
You know, Mexican standoff, it's like everyone's got guns pointed at each other. It's like Canadian standoff, like, just we're shy, and it's like, just take whatever you need, mister. Like, no one's asking questions.
It's one of those things where I've got to sit down and work out the kinks to that story, because there's too many lulls. That's what it is. It's like,
yeah.
It's the story, if I could get it out correctly, it will work, because I've made it work before. Like,
yeah.
I didn't do that any justice.
What
there.
Else, other than the drugs?
I was in an interracial relationship for like 3 years. I dated a Guyanese girl, and she used to sell hair extensions on Kijiji.
Yo, I like how maybe on the drug thing for a second. Like, do you find like most people are like super bait with drugs, like on
yeah.
the phone and shit.
Oh yeah,
they'll be like, "Yo, who has bud? Like, where can I get bud?
Not
like
only that.
Green." You're like, "Come on, man! It's like, how much for that?" You're like, "Fuck."
Well, this is what like that's kind
and
of
it's all
where
NSA
my...
and shit today.
Well, that's
like
what this is my tie-in with how my girlfriend sells hair on Kijiji, because I don't have you ever heard somebody say like have you ever heard a conversation that goes on when a girl is trying to buy hair extensions? It's like, can I get an ounce of Peruvian? That's exactly the if you hear that, you think automatically cocaine. So like you think like the fucking house gets raided just from like the phone calls being tapped or something, and like next thing you know, it's just hair extensions.
You probably won't get raided. It's just more like it's just all that shit. No one's actually reading it. But it is going into a huge global database.
Yeah,
and at the end of the day, it's like
scanned by search words. If you think about
yeah,
it,
yeah, so like
if you said something like that pulls it up.
And like way down the line, like you never know. Like if you want to actually get into showbiz, and like you know you wanna like make a name for yourself, it's like you're going out to a place and telling like 30 to several hundred, you know, whatever, 10 to a few hundred people. Your name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, all your shit, it's like, if, like, and you don't know some of these people, you don't know in your life who you're going to offend. Like, if one day someone's big enough and they really want to, like, find some dirt on you, they're like, get some dirt on this guy. It's
yeah.
like, all that shit's there. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like, I once had a friend, you know, like, Facebook has a button that you can, like, request your friend's numbers. If you don't have a friend's number, you can hit
actually,
this button.
Yeah. Yeah,
it'll
yeah.
ask them to, like, if you want to, if they want to share it with you.
Yeah.
And you can put a message. And my friend did that once, and he was like, hey, do you know where, like, it was like, your friend wants your number. And I clicked it, and he actually wrote in the message, like, hey, do you know anywhere I can get some weed?
Wow.
Like, fuck, man. Like, you might as well just, like, throw up like it at Zuckerberg. Yeah, like what, like some people don't think at all. Like,
well, you know what,
just,
he
like,
was quoted as saying is every Facebook user are dumb motherfuckers, like, because we've basically yeah. handed over everything.
Yeah, it's like the most research you can have on someone, and it's
well,
like I'm fully part of this. Like I have a show
Nazis
to run. Like I need my show.
The Nazis
oh, they
would have
cream
paid
themselves.
To have like they'd be they would. They would have died.
They
to
basically
have this
had this, but like analog.
Yeah, but
close
and then and not even nearly as detailed because we're doing it ourselves. We're giving
yeah.
them everything on a daily basis, several times a day.
Oh yeah, like, location. Your
well,
phone is like the biggest snitch in the world. They don't even need informants
well,
anymore.
No,
just your
no,
phone,
no.
like.
You
they
wanna,
can,
you want to freak out your friends
if,
with an iPhone?
Even if your I don't have an iPhone, but even if your phone is fully off. They can turn your phone on remote control,
oh, yeah, yeah.
but not, I don't mean on and then, oh, how did my phone turn on? I mean on,
I'll show you something
but like
right
in an
now.
Off mode that like doesn't appear on to you. So the screen is still off, everything's still off, but it's recording or my broadcasting. It's like, what?
So I'll talk everybody through this. So you want to freak out your friends who have iPhones and like really fuck with their heads
sure.
and be like,
yeah, maybe once. Yeah.
All right. So basically, you go down here into
don't try this
privacy,
at home, kids.
Privacy, location services.
Yeah.
Go all the way down to the bottom, and there
it'll show them their map.
System services, and then frequent locations, and then here's.
Yeah,
your
I've seen this. I've seen this. Yeah.
And it shows.
There's a Google
everywhere
one too.
Where that you've ever fucking.
Does it?
Been.
If you zoom in, does it show you the lines of you? Going back and forth.
I'm not
the one
too
I have
sure.
Google. It shows me like from here to here, and then in a circle here, and then back here, and then here, and then
like,
all the way here, and then
so
here. And all they gotta do is like, oh, how many times have you been here? Back and forth. Oh, you know, okay,
well, yeah,
boom.
Like
they can figure out all your shit in like 2 seconds.
123 visits at home. 23 visits to William Kitchen Road, which is Tim Hortons.
But it's like, this
that's
is,
since January 14th.
This is the thing, if I may. This is the thing. All this shit, none of this stuff we're looking at right now is actually new.
No.
They've had this. Maybe the screen wasn't as bright, it wasn't as handheld, but they've had this knowledge for like
this.
30, 40 years.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
we're always, by the time it comes to our consumer hands, we're always so behind
oh, yeah.
that like, if this scares you, don't be scared, because what's scary is the next level shit beyond this that they have that we still won't even know about. Like, they're literally, like, you know about, you ever see those, fuck the big drones, that's not what to be worried about. You ever see those little fly-on-the-wall drones?
Yeah,
there's,
yeah.
like, little flies now. They can,
yeah.
they, MIT fucking put this like micro transmitter into a cockroach's brain and made it a remote control cockroach.
Well, they have something even crazier where it's like an aerosol can spray, and they spray like your shoulders or your like somebody just walking past you squirts this shit on you, right? Oh, it's that simple.
And, what, it's like nano?
Well, no, they can track you through satellites.
Holy fucking Christ.
Yeah, they were. I saw that shit on it. They used it.
But like, if it's on your skin, they can track you naked from anywhere.
Yeah.
Or just what? Well, while you have that spray on, like you wash your clothes.
I don't know how. Like,
do you know
how,
what I mean? Like, is it like if you just press it to your arm, you're marked from space forever? Like,
I'd have to seriously look into
like,
it.
But cut your like arm off. Like, it's in your blood now. It's like it's already there.
That's what they would use in like to track, say. Like, you know how they said they followed, they tracked Bin Laden's courier, and that's how they found him to do the that's how they found him to do the actual assassination. If they you believe that's when he was assassinated, like half the people don't, half the people do.
I do. I hope. I mean, fuck. I think part of it I remember is one dude is a Pakistani doctor, and he helped like the CIA's like front company do this like vaccination program, and they like went around with this dentist or doctor and examined people and then gave them free vaccinations like all over, and then that's how they got the DNA and they matched it with already on file.
Oh yeah, DNA. Yeah, I believe that. And I
yo,
like,
the
in
thing
India?
Is just like your phone though, you know how like I'm sorry the, just like your phone, we saw that whole thing. They've had that since like 30 years ago, like I said. So yeah. How is it that they took so long to find Osama? Like, they can zoom in on a golf ball from space with that shit already, and it's because they didn't want him. Like, you know Baghdadi right now?
Or he was dead.
Yeah, he was on dialysis and
that's
shit
why
for a long
I,
time,
like,
and he's, like, up in
well,
caves.
How, yeah.
But he was never really in a cave. He was in his compound, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Well, at one point, he was in, like, that the cave system
that's
up
probably,
in Afghanistan.
Probably, like, a little bit,
it's
and,
like,
just more for PR, and they had him out of there. Like,
it's
generals and leaders are always, like, actually, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They put him in the picture as the front, but it's like even poor armies, like when the Revolutionary War was happening, the States, like after, you know, it's like Valley Forge, yeah, it's hard, but it's like the soldiers are trudging in the mud. Washington's somewhere else in like a nice, like confiscated man, like country house mansion, like nice,
yeah.
You know what I mean? They still had a bunch of servants with them, like good food, like it's always like that. Even the most pious army, it's always just like there's some general who's like eating well, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's...
You remember Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
You see the Redux?
No, I haven't.
In the Redux, there's this whole scene where, that wasn't in the other one, the first one, where like they wake him up and they make him like meet with the generals who like put him on a mission. And they're all like, ugh, the food is so bad. But it's like, and they're in the middle of Vietnam, but it's like perfect, like nice, like on silver platter, like officer food. And they're like bitching and moaning, but they're all fat. And as they're bitching, they're piling more and more on their plate and like still eating it while bitching.
Wow.
And it's like, ugh, if you try the shrimp, if you dare to try the shrimp, we'll give you a record commendation.
Yeah,
and he's just like hung over
like that too,
oh,
probably.
Like, where are you going to send me to kill people? Like, just... Fat
I believe
generals.
It's like that too. Fucking corrupt as shit. All of them are all corrupt. Every single one of them.
You like conspiracy theories and shit? You were talking about Osama.
Yeah.
You want to know? You want to know one I'm kind of thinking about? I think. I mean, there's some sort of work, at least in the past, if not present, between Baghdadi, the dude who's in charge of ISIS, and the States. And the reason I think so, more than anything, is he was actually captured in 2003 in Iraq by U.S. forces in Iraq and put in one of their compounds, right? And that's where they say he actually became radicalized because, like, they probably tortured the shit out of him or whatever. Not an excuse, but, like, it helps us understand. But then the thing is, so he got released, and then now, of course, he's fucking crazy. The thing that I think is weird about it, though, is the only, like, picture – they had DNA – on Osama from a long time. That's how they were able to match it with the doctor. They had DNA from Saddam because they used to be boys, and they probably were boys till the end. That's how when you see Saddam getting captured, there's a shaved head. Stewie did it on Family Guy too. There's a shaved head, glasses, Marine who's doing like
mouth swab test on Saddam Hussein when they finally captured him. So they had DNA on these guys that they can compare it to. Baghdadi, except for ISIS footage that they put out themselves, the only U.S. and international file photo on Baghdadi is a black and white from the 1970s. So how is that possible if he was in U.S. jail in 2003? When you go through a U.S. jail system, whether in the States now, if you're high security, or especially in war, they do full-scale biometrics on you. So
but maybe not back in 2003.
Of course, yeah, for sure. Canadians do it in Kandahar. Yeah, for that's standard. That's world standard now. You don't but go
even
through
10 years. You'd ago, at least, there's been like leaps and bounds in the past 10 years.
No, but
years, though.
They went. He went to a U.S. jail, so they would at least have a U.S. Jail mugshot of him that's newer than the 1970s picture. They'd at least have his fingerprints.
If it wasn't digitized in the records, that stuff might not be able, like, accessible unless they actually went to the prison. Like, it could be something as simple as that. Especially dealing with bureaucracies.
I just think it's like, we don't know anything about this guy. Here's an old photo. But it's like he went through your system. He went through your, just like they say jail, like, trains convicts, and it's like convict school. He went through your terrorist school. You know what I mean? Like,
well, there's like,
and now we know that Osama was working with the States. It was just a long time ago, in the 70s. Oh, but today we say that so casually.
Yeah.
No one's outraged, and no one thinks it can happen again. Like, you know what I mean?
It's still happening.
It's the same thing over and over. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It just never stopped. That's the thing. Like, it doesn't.
Terrifying.
It's
just this big game. Like, they just wanna. There's always an enemy there that we have to go fight. And you know what the scariest thing is? Forget about all the guns and all these trying to kill us. The scariest thing is for me is that I was against the Iraq War, and I think it was a bullshit war for oil, and there were no WMDs, right?
That's evident.
I was half with Afghanistan. Afghanistan, fuck the Taliban. You know, 9/11 was brutal, and I thought right away we should go and fucking kill these Taliban guys. But then,
the Taliban had nothing to do with 9/11.
A lot of the war and, like, the way we fought that war, like, wasn't the best, especially because now we're leaving them with shit all.
Yeah. It's really fucked up.
But the scariest part is with shit. When I see shit like ISIS, even though I know that it's just another enemy for us that they've created, this time I'm with it and I'm like, no, we actually need to go and we literally need to fight them, like, right now. And the one time that they would have me on their side with the war machine, they're saying no ground troops. We're gonna do it all from the air, and they're not actually gonna do it. Like, it doesn't make sense. This is almost as bad as Nazis.
It's like
the Nazis have come back, and we're not doing shit.
They spoke about on Rogan's podcast, and I feel echoing
really
his shit. It's because he had Shane Smith on, and Vice had embedded with ISIS for 4 weeks. And
Shane Smith for the new one?
Not Shane Smith.
I saw that actually. Yeah. I saw the Vice Islamic State video. It's actually really good.
Yeah.
The only thing is, it was, they did it so early and they were so on point with being the first ones there that, like, after they left, like, so much more shit's happened, and it was like, it's gone even, because that's like, even that was Islamic State when they, like, were like, they looked like pretty organized there and they had Raqqa, and it's like, now it's just like blood everywhere. Like, you're like, that's
the thing that Shane Smith was saying is that the thing that people need to realize is that Saudi Arabia is scared shitless right now of ISIS, because ISIS are the real Wahhabists. And what do ISIS want, and what do the Wahhabists want? They want Mecca. Why do they want Mecca? Because that's their belief. They need to be in Mecca and control.
Saudi Arabia is Wahhabi, though.
Yeah, but they're not, like, the real Wahhabists. ISIS is the real.
They're real enough. Wahhabi Islam in general is, like, the same as ISIS. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's really bad. Like, the Saudis are just as bad. The only difference is the Saudis did everything ISIS is doing now. They did it, like, 60 years ago.
I'm not justifying.
And the Brits, like,
anything.
Let them do it, and now they're, like, now they're in their white sheets. Because they don't need to kill anyone. They've killed it all.
Yeah.
Like,
they've set everything up.
They've set it up.
But now ISIS is turned and focused
right on them, and they're.
I'm sure that the Saudi royal family, at one point, like in their history, definitely when they were taking over these villages, they fucking got the girls to bang them. That's why they have so many fucking kids.
Oh yeah.
And that they lined up all the men they didn't like and cut their heads off, just like brutal ISIS right now. Like, and,
oh, yeah.
And somehow we are perfect allies with the with. You know,
it's such a
Wahhabi
fucked up
kingdom.
Situation.
It's like bullshit.
It's super fucked up, and it's one of those things where it's like, okay, what are we gonna?
They still
do?
Behead people. They behead people.
Yeah, every day.
Like fuck.
They beheaded. I think it was 21 people. They have mass beheadings there.
Yeah,
that's how many beheadings they have.
Well, ISIS. No, ISIS no. is doing that. Saudi Arabia does one at a time. Yeah.
Saudi Arabia does. They've got. I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure they
done,
have, but
yeah,
currently it's
them.
Like it's like you know. Everyone.
We're almost running out of time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Anything you want to touch on?
Did you have anything that you wanted to promote?
Oh, well, tomorrow I'm gonna be at Vape on the Lake.
So anybody
I'm
who's
really
watching
excited for that.
This in the like the next. Like the next couple of hours, make sure
9 o'clock show.
Shit.
Tuesdays at 7:30 at Sonic Espresso Bar in Toronto. That's 60 Cecil. I have the Skin of My Nuts comedy show. I host it. It's a 7-hour show. Don't expect you to stay the whole time. And we got a bunch of comics from absolute shit that you never want to see to the very best that you can find anywhere, all in one night, all probably drunk, only one exit. And on Thursday nights, I have Saffron and Gold Comedy, which I'm not hosting. I have the very lovely Miss Elaine Gold hosting. I'm producing it on the sidelines. I'm organizing the show. And that's more of about a 10 to 12 act show. A lot of the heavy hitters that you'll find from this area and beyond. So join us. That's at Christie Pitts Pub. All the fun starts around 8:39. And that's 814 Bloor Street West. Thank you.
Perfect. All right, and that's it, guys. Have a good weekend.
Goodbye. Keep it burning.